This is the Campfire Cafe on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Well, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus, he's coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping, and he knows if you're awake, and he knows if you've been bad or good. So be good, for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus, he's coming to town. So be good, for goodness sake. Well, you better watch out, better not cry, better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming. Santa Claus, he's coming. Santa Claus, he's coming to town.
Well, good Thursday morning from Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Gary Holt. And joining me in Santa Cruz, California, is our co-host, Bobby Bell. Good morning, Miss Bobby.
Good morning, Gary. You got your coffee?
Got my coffee, got my thermos of coffee, got my jingle bells. I'm in the Christmas spirit today. So, yeah, we're only 25 days away today from Christmas.
Oh, I know, and that means we're only... what, 30 days away from the new year?
Just about 30 days from the new year. This has been a good year on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
It has. We've had an amazing lineup of guests this year, haven't we?
We have had a strong lineup of guests and a lot of fun. And we have a fun show lined up today. We have a really, really swinging good time that we're going to be enjoying. And who is our first guest?
We're so delighted to welcome back to the program Alex Dormont. He's the leader of the Hot Texas Swing Band.
All right. So we're going to have a hot time in the old town tonight with Alex. And we're looking forward to sharing their new CD, Off the Beaten Trail, today. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then in the second hour, we have Tracy with Angel Heart Farm that's joining us. And so we're going to be talking about kids with cancer and how horses have changed their lives. So it's going to be a really, really good show today. But we want to acknowledge our sponsor, and that's Legacy Benefit Group. For over 30 years, Legacy Benefit Group has helped create, protect, and preserve your financial legacy. So now we're going to invite you to take a deep seat in the saddle and grab your big cup of coffee. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Alex Dormont of the Hot Texas Swing Band on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, heard around the world, streaming live online and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net.
I want to drink my java from an old tin can while the moon goes climbing high. I want to hear the song of the whippoorwill, hear a coyote's cry. I want to feel the saddle horse between my legs, just riding him out on the range, just to kick him in the side, make him show his stepping pride out on the Texas plains. Now each night in my dreams, somehow it seems I'm back where I belong, just a country hick way back in the stick, back where I was born. 'Cause the city lights and the city ways, they're driving me insane. I wanna be alone, I wanna be back home, out on those Texas plains. I wanna drink my java from an old tin can while the moon goes climbing high. I wanna hear the song of a whippoorwill, hear a coyote's cry. I wanna feel the saddle horse between my legs, just to riding him out on the range, just to kick him in the side, make him show his stepping pride out on the Texas plains.
Campfire Cafe, and that was Texas Plains by the Hot Texas Swing Band. With one boot in cowboy music and the other in swing, the Hot Texas Swing Band is riding the trail previously blazed by artists such as Bob Wills and Asleep at the Wheel. Backed by a passion for traditional Western swing, the Hot Texas Swing Band pushes the genre forward with rockabilly, Latin beats, and original material for a fresh sound and high-energy live shows that have critics and fans raving. This morning's guest, band leader Alex Dormont, writes original material for the band, arranges the music, plays upright bass, and provides vocals. Our friend Bob Stain of Southern California's famous Coffee Gallery music venue has this to say: this band is in the league of the Quavy Sisters and the Hot Club of Cowtown, female vocals that rival Patsy Cline. Even for Texas, this is a hot act. This is a shoot the lights out on a Saturday night band. We don't get many like this rousing ensemble, a sensational act with a huge reputation. See if Texas got it right. The release of their newest CD project, Off the Beaten Trail, is being embraced by music reviewers, radio DJs, and their fans with great acclaim and enthusiasm. Please welcome to Campfire Cafe the visionary behind the band, Alex Dormont. Good morning, Alex.
Hey, Bobby. Good morning, and good morning to you, Gary. I got my cup of coffee, too.
Well, we can't do without this coffee this morning. How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, I am great. What a great way to start the morning, hearing y'all play Texas Plains. What a great song that is, written by Stuart Hamblin from California there.
Yeah.
Great, great
good
music.
Way to super. Yeah. We are so excited to be with you today, and thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're very
great to be back.
You're very welcome. You know, you were back with us, I think, back in February of this year,
yeah.
And we were celebrating Groundhog Day that day, and now we're getting close to Christmas. Golly, time has flown.
Oh, December tomorrow. Yeah. It's going to be a great month.
It is going to be a
great month.
Looking
forward to Christmas.
Well, tell us what you have been up to since February. You guys have been really doing a lot of touring and traveling. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, well, we had that great tour to California. We were on SCTV Out West Concert Series in July, and we combined that with four gigs in the L.A. area while we were there, and then we came back touring through Phoenix, Albuquerque, Santa Fe, Taos, and then we went up to Colorado, Gunnison, and Pagosa Springs. So we had a great summer tour. And then we've been, after that, we were getting ready for our CD, which we went in the studio, back in September, and we've cut 13 tracks in about a week, and now we got a new CD.
Well, it's a great CD, and we're going to be sharing a lot of the music from that today. But how about telling us about the people that are playing and singing with you on the CD?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is our band. You know, I'm the band leader, of course, and play upright bass and sing. But we've got two great female vocalists. Selena Rosenbaum has been with us for 6 years. And then Liz Morpeth, vocalist, she's been singing with us about 3 years now. And we put both of them on the CD. So, I love both of them singing. At live shows, we usually have one or the other. But except our CD release parties, we've got both of them, just like on the CD. So that's our vocal section. And then Cat Clemens is our guitar player, and he just tears it up every time he plays. We have to have a fiddle. We're from Texas, right? So Ileana
needs
a fiddle player. And then we have a horn section, which we feature on the CD. Joey Colarusso plays sax, and then Jimmy Shortell plays trumpet. He also plays accordion. And then we've got a steel player, Dave Biller, and a little bit of piano, too, Dan Walton. Our drummer, of course, is Stephen Bidwell. So that's the band that's on the CD. That's the band that we play our live shows with. Not usually all of them at the same time, like I said.
Right.
I have to say, when you were all out here and we got to see you play not only our concert series but in another venue, that is so fun to watch. Oh, my gosh.
he what a guitar player. And he's only 25. It's amazing.
Yeah,
he's destined for really great things.
Yeah, all eyes riveted on him. No matter the beauty of the voices of the rest of the band and the ladies and you and all, it's like when Kat is
he's
got control of that stage.
well, you know, we play Western swing music, and Western swing, you know, is of course we have great vocalists, but it's mostly about the band. You know, it's a lot of improvising. Like jazz music has, and Kat can tear it up. He surprises me with new things every show and blows me away. So a real honor to be playing with him for the last 3 years, too.
Well, you've got a great band, and it's a great CD, and I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into another song. This is an old song. It's called Cow Cow Boogie, and let's take a listen to that, and then we're going to come back and delve into Alex and what's happening with them.
Beautiful.
With the Hot Club. Yeah, so we're going to be right back in just a moment on the Campfire Cafe. All right.
Out on the plains, down near Santa Fe, I met a cowboy riding the range one day, and as he jogged along, I heard him singing a most peculiar cowboy song. It was a ditty he learned in the city. A come a tie, yeah, come a tie, yipply, yeah. Get along, get hip, little doggies, get along. Better be on your way, get along, get hip, little doggies. And he trucked him on down the old fairway, singing his cow cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, yeah, come a tie, yipply, yeah, singing his cow. song. He's just too much. He's got a knocked out Western accent with a Harlem touch. He was raised on local weed. He's what you call the swinging breed, singing his cow-cow boogie in the strangest way. Come a tie, aye, aye, come a tie, flee, aye.
So much, I almost forgot to push my buttons.
Makes you want to dance.
Yeah, it just makes you want to get up and dance. Hey, tell us a little bit about what the history is behind Western Swing and its relationship to jazz, a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to talk about that. Well, back in the 30s, Bob Wills and Herman Brown were down here in Texas, and they'd been playing all their fiddle tunes, of course, and their regular, Texas music. And then they heard this strange thing coming out of New Orleans, jazz music. And so they decided to play jazz music with their country instruments, with guitars and fiddles and steel guitars. And they eventually, became more popular than even the big bands. They could outdraw, Benny Goodman or Count Basie here in Texas. And also in California, they were very popular. So, it was basically big band music with regular traditional country instruments. And, the improvisation is real important in the music. You can hear the solos in the middle there. And,
right.
It's really, really, really important, the improvisation, because, that gives it the freshness. It's different every time. So, Bob Wills and Milton Brown invented it back in the 30s. Of course, Asleep at the Wheel came around in the 70s and kept it alive. And you mentioned the Quick Fixers and Hot Club of Cowtown. So a lot of great Western swing music happening right now.
Yeah. Well, Texas is kind of the home for all that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Western swing was born in Texas, but we're glad to share it with the world. Anywhere Bob Wills went, we find Western swing fans. So he was headquartered in California for a long time. He was making Western movies. He and the band all rode horses, and they did a bunch of movies out there. And of course, he was headquartered in Oklahoma for a while. He got in trouble in Texas and had to go up to Tulsa. But there are Western swing societies all over the United States. There's one up in the Northwest, and Oklahoma. So Western swing and all over in Europe, it's really big. A lot of Western swing bands go and tour over in Europe. So. It's unique music, born in America.
Yeah. And by the way, we've got folks that are listening. I noticed yesterday, Bulgaria, Japan, Russia, China. They're listening somehow. They're listening to us in China. And
love it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We ship our CDs around the world, and our DJs play it around the world too. So we're, it's. I love the way it spreads. Yeah. I love new eyes and ears.
I was just thinking that maybe we need to have a campfire cafe, on the road and take some of our guests with us and go hit some of these places, right? You'd love to do that with your band, wouldn't you, Alex?
I'm up for it. Hey, we got a van ready to travel.
Oh, gosh. Have band, we'll travel.
Exactly.
Well, let's play another song. This one is another old song, and it's been recorded by several people, but you guys just do a great cover of this one, and it's called Cry Me a River. It's the Hot Texas Swing Band. It is from their CD, Off the Beaten Trail.
And cry me a river. I've cried a river over you. I cried a river over you. I cried a river over you. I cried a river over you.
Gorgeous. That was
Cry
a River from Off at least, the Beaten Trail.
That song,
Alex,
leaves me breathless every time.
It absolutely. Tell us which one of the vocalists that was.
Yes, Bobby. That was Selena Rosenbaum.
That's
our female vocalist, our original female vocalist. And she just knocks that one out of the park. I just leaves me breathless and with goosebumps every time.
Yes, absolutely. And I know that was originally written for Ella Fitzgerald back in early 1920s. And it was also just inducted in 2016 by the Library of Congress into the National Recording Registry.
I did not know that. Yeah. Well, Julie London had the hit with it, of course, that song. And it's kind of out of the box, you know, but we love the way Selena sings that one, and we had to put it on the record.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. So we were sharing a little bit about some of the history behind the music. What about a little bit about your history? Who has inspired you?
Oh, yeah. Well, all the Western swing greats, you know, Bob Wills I mentioned. Of course, Johnny Gimble. When I got to Texas, I got to meet Johnny Gimble, and then my wife and I moved out to Dripping Springs, Texas, and Johnny moved here too. So I got to do a bunch of gigs with him, and he was just such a great musician and a great man. So he's my biggest influence. We put one of his songs on every record so far. He played with Bob Wills, of course, back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. As far as songwriting, you know, I love Cindy Walker. She wrote a lot of great songs for Bob Wills. Of course, Willie Nelson is a great songwriter. There's so many good ones. My influence is, you know, I started as a fiddle player, not as upright bass player, and I would play all the Texas dance halls. When I got to Texas in 1977, I soon was in Ace in the Hole, you know, George Strait's band, playing fiddle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I had a ringside seat on some you know, great dancing in the Texas dance halls, and of course George's singing was fantastic. So that's kind of my roots in music. You know, we do kind of half dance music and you know, Western swing, of course, was made for dancing. So we love playing shows where there's no dancing, but when there's dancers, that just gives us more energy. So we love to play for dancers.
Mm-hmm. Gary, what are you going to play next?
Well, I'm going to play a song that I love that Alex wrote, and it is the only song that we're playing today that is not from the CD Off the Beaten Trail, and that's Ain't Dead Yet. So, Alex, you told us the story once before, so tell us the story again about this song.
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife and I were hiking around in Enchanted Rock State Park out in the Texas Hill Country. It's a beautiful state park, but it was about a five-mile hike, and we were thirsty and hungry, and I look up, and there are seven vultures circling, looking at us very closely, and I could tell that they were hungry and thirsty too. So I wrote this song, Ain't Dead Yet. And it's kind of, you know, a defiant song. I write a lot of songs in this mode. So I call it my mortality series.
Well, this is Ain't Dead Yet. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. 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 Every song's, you know, got to have the light and the darkness. You know, it's got to have the positive and the negative. So this one's got a little bit of each, it, like I said, it's pretty defiant, and it kind of explains itself.
All right, let's take a listen to Ain't Dead Yet. It's from the CD, Ain't Dead Yet, and it's the Hot Texas Swing Band.
Seven boats are circling above me. They're getting so upset. They're hungry for some fresh meat, but I ain't dead yet. Yes, I'm getting mighty, mighty weary. I'll get up and go done get. But I got lots of fight left. No, I ain't dead yet. That old sun is way up high. It's in the sky. I'm getting kinda dry. I'll just keep on pushing on. Ain't gonna hang my head and cry. There's still seven vultures circling above me. They're getting so upset. They'll have to find death somewhere else, 'cause I ain't dead yet. It's in the sky. I'm getting kinda dry. I'll just keep on pushing on. Ain't gonna hang my head and cry. There's still seven vultures circling above me, getting so upset. They'll have to find death somewhere else, 'cause I ain't dead yet. Keep on pushing on, ain't gonna hang my head and cry. There's just seven vultures circling above me. They're getting so upset. They'll have to find death somewhere else, 'cause I ain't dead yet. No, I ain't dead yet. No, I ain't dead yet.
I absolutely love this song. Absolutely love this song.
Oh, well, thank you. I had to
throw that in today. But so you wrote that song after you saw those buzzards circling above you. But what's your normal writing process?
Well, usually I write from dreams. I dream about a song or a hook, a little theme, and then I flesh it out when I wake up. But that one I just wrote with my conscious mind when I was awake. And so, but usually I start with a lyric. Lyrics are a little harder for me than the music. And so I find just some phrase that really rings true and it's got a strong emotion connected with it for me. And then I'll flesh it out, and then I'll put the melody and the chords, to accentuate that story. So, songs tell story, especially the first verse. So that's when I like
right.
to, but to me, it has to be connected to something that's very true. It's easy to write songs that are full of cliches. I used to do that. It's a lot harder to write ones that really ring mm-hmm. true. So mm-hmm. it usually takes me a year or two to write six or seven original tunes that I feel are worthy of our CDs. So once we have enough, then we make a new CD.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you take these songs out on the road and try them out before you put them on a CD?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well, I have to figure out how to sing them. Writing them is one thing, and then singing them is another. So, yes, I'll try it out. With the band, we'll play it a new song, and they're very open to that. So this new CD's got six of my tunes, and actually wrote two of them after trail rides, riding on a horse. And so I had two great trail rides, and I just wrote what I saw. So off the beaten trail, you know, I was up in the Canadian Rockies in Waterson Lakes National Park, and my wife likes to ride horses, so we went on a trail ride, and it was a 2-hour trail ride, which was plenty of time for me to write the song. And then off the beaten trail was a trail ride in the Texas Hill Country out by the Frio River. So, you know, it's inspiring to me being out in nature, and you know, I'm grateful. I'm kind of afraid to ride another horse because I'm afraid I might not get a song out of it. So I'm might quit while the streak is still alive.
Gosh. Well, you were just talking about Off the Beaten Trail. Let's take a listen to that one. And it is the title cut from the CD, Off the Beaten Trail. And we're going to come back and talk more with Alex. And I want to find out, you know, I just talking about this horseback riding, I want to find out what you might do in your spare time when you're not writing music and not performing. But let's take a listen to that. We'll be right back to talk with Alex on the Campfire Cafe.
Off the beaten trail, between a mane and tail, far beyond the pale. Off the beaten trail, I'm riding all day long, with a smile and song, making camp for long, build a fire warm. I tried the city bright, can't tell the day from night, can't hear the wind, smell the fire, see the starlight. Crowds all around, they're scurrying everywhere, rather be way out here with the fresh clear air. Off the beaten trail, between a mane and tail, far beyond the pale. Off the beaten trail, pinion pines, prickly pear with spines, distant ridge ahead, where I'll make my bed. The river's down below, spring rains bring good flow, mountains high above, this is what I love. I tried the city bright, can't tell the day from night, can't hear the wind, smell the fire, see the starlight. Crowds all around, they're scurrying everywhere, rather be way out here with the fresh clear air. Off the beaten trail, between a mane and tail, far beyond the pale. Off the beaten trail, off the beaten trail, off the beaten trail.
The title cut from the CD, Off the Beaten Trail, and we're talking with Alex Dormont today on Campfire Cafe. So, Alex, what do you do when you're just letting your hair down, when you're not writing or you're not performing? What do you like to do?
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife and I live on a ranch out west of Irving Springs, Texas, out in the Texas Hill Country. And we always got projects. You know how it is with a ranch. You know, always fences to mend and firewood to cut. I just cut some firewood this morning to try to get us through the winter. We got a big fireplace inside. We like gardening. We like to raise our own vegetables. I like to go hear my friends play music in Austin. There's so much music in Austin, of course, and it's great to go hear that. But I'm going to be real busy coming up in about 2 weeks. We're expecting our first grandchild. Our daughter's going to have our grandson. So,
That'll change
that's
life.
That's going to be a new project. Yeah, that's going to change. Our two kids are grown up. Shelly is 29 and Philip's 26. So now it's time for another round.
That's exciting.
Well, when that new grandbaby comes, you'll have the inspiration for a new song. So,
exactly. I imagine so. And luckily, they all live close. So that's great.
That is great. How close are you to Austin?
We're about 35 miles from the capital. So the outskirts of Austin, you know, is just a half hour away. And it's a nice drive. We have backcountry roads, which I like to go in there. Of course, when you hit Austin, you've got a lot of traffic. But, it's worth it. We're within shooting distance. So there's some great musicians in Austin. I like to get inspired by them, too.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of like Nashville. I'm about the same distance out of Nashville, 35 or 45 minutes. And so there's always a lot of great music going on, as you can imagine, in Nashville. Have you done recording in Nashville?
No, I've made several trips there. I wrote a song there, but our son went to Belmont University, and he got a music business degree. He got out about 3 years ago. So we got to spend a lot of time. We got to hear the Time Jumpers at the Station Inn and then at their new place, Third and Lindy.
Right.
They're another great Western swing band. And Philip made some great connections there for us. Our publicist is in Nashville that sends out our press releases and everything. So, I would love to do some recording in Nashville. We're just sticking close to home for now. We recorded our new CD right here in Dripping Springs. There's a world-class studio. They do all Robert Earl Keane stuff, and Lloyd Maines is the main producer out there. So it's a little more convenient to be close to home, but eventually, I'd be up for anything.
Right. Well, when you're in Nashville, give me a holler and let me know that you're coming to town. So we'll try to get connected.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
But let's do another song from this, and this is one that you wrote. It's called How Do I Not? And anything you want to tell us about this?
Well, this is Liz Morpha singing, and this is one song that songwriters dream of. The song came to me fully formed in a dream, and I woke up and wrote everything down. So it was one of the easiest songs I've ever written. The muse doesn't visit me every day, so when it does, I pay attention. I got up in the middle of the night last night and wrote down a few words that came to me. If I don't write it down, I forget it. So this one, I dreamed that I was seeing a band, my band, and there was a female vocalist singing this song. And so I got up and I was sure it was an already existing song that I'd just forgotten about. But no, my unconscious mind actually wrote this one all by itself.
All right, well, let's take a listen.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, let's take a listen to this, and we'll come back and talk a little bit more with Alex Dormond on the Campfire Cafe.
How do I not feel connection when I look your direction? How do I not greet perfection? You're what I want, my selection. It's time to say hello. How do I already know? Women to be, no exception. How do I not, how do I not, how do I not? Thank you. not feel connection when you look my direction. In your eyes, an inspection. In your smile, a detection. Now that we both said hello,
and just wrote it. That was just unbelievable. Have you visualized the song about vegetables? You know, you'd like to garden. Have you done a vegetable song?
No, I've written about food. I've written about food a lot. I wrote a song about shrimp, but no vegetables yet. Broccoli. No, that doesn't rhyme with
broccoli. Yeah, squash, you know, that kind of deal. But anyway, that is so much fun. So much fun. That is great. Well, you were talking just a little bit before the show about your Christmas tour. So what is that like? Where will you be performing, and what's the Christmas tour like?
Sure. So we got a lot of shows in December. We got a big CD release party at Green Hall, the oldest dance hall in Texas, and that's on December 9th. It's a Saturday. We're playing an afternoon show there, and we'll throw in a few Christmas songs. And then we're, of course, playing at Central Market, our regular hangout in Austin. It's a grocery store, but they have live music since it's Austin. That's that's this Saturday. But we've got some special Christmas shows. Shopping centers here in Austin like to hire live music. There's so many musicians, and we just play 2 or 3 hours of just all Christmas songs. So I've been doing this for about 5 years now with my band, and I've got all the charts. We have sometimes it's just a duo or trio, and then we go all the way up to a full band, you know, with saxophone and trumpet. And we do all the standard Christmas carols, and then we do the rockabilly ones, you know, and the funny ones and the jazz ones too. So there's so much good music, you know, around Christmas time. We love to do that.
Right. Well, it is. It's a great CD. It is called Off the Beaten Trail, and I want to get to a couple of more songs from that before we're gone. Our time is just kind of racing by.
I know.
Yeah, it really is. This one is called Snow in Amarillo. Tell us a little bit about this song.
Okay, well, I was up there. My brother lives in Colorado, and we were up there 2 Christmases ago. And then, you know, it's usually a easy drive, but on the way back, we hit a blizzard in Amarillo. And actually, the interstate going down to Lubbock was closed, so we had to detour way to the east. You know, we were all on our cell phones seeing which roads are passable. So we ended up going way east just to get home. But the snow in Amarillo was so beautiful on the pastures and fields with the full moon rising. I had to write a song. And so, you know, I put a girl in it, and you know how it goes. So I just made
a
song.
Right. All right. Well, this is another great song. It's from the CD Off the Beaten Trail. And let's take a listen.
There's snow in Amarillo, in a blanket covering the ground. while the pale moon's rising over the horizon, and you're nowhere to be found. Well, I looked all the likely honky-tonks and barrooms around. I stopped and searched all the usual spots, but you're nowhere to be found. So I'm driving around this old cocoa town, wondering where are you now? I feel the chill seeping deep inside of you, breaking our vow. There's snow in Amarillo, in a blanket cover in the ground, while the pale moon's rising over the horizon, and you're nowhere to be found. You've done this to me, but I promise it'll be the last. No, I'm not proud to say it right out loud, I was a fool in the past. But now I'd rather be alone without you than alone while you're stepping out. Yes, my heart's through with looking for you, it's finally over, I'm getting out. So I'm a driving out of this old old town, gonna find me another home. Time to let go, start another show. Now it's on the roam. There's snow in Amarillo, in blanket cover in the ground, while the pale moon's rising over the horizon, and I'm headed out of town. Good luck where you're bound, 'cause I won't be around.
Snow in Amarillo. And
yeah.
Another great song from the city, Off the Beaten Trail. Alex, you have been so much fun to talk with today, and it is a great CD. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, thank you very much, Gary and Bobby. It's been great to talk to y'all, and I appreciate your kind words. We're proud of the CD, and glad we're getting to play it.
I'm telling you what, people are going to want to buy the CD, and is it available now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we just released it a couple weeks ago, so you can buy it now. The best place is at our website. HotTexasSwingBand.com. You can also go to the usual iTunes, Amazon. You know, we're in all those places. We don't have a record distribution networks except in Austin. We got it in several record stores in Austin, but you can mail order if you want a physical copy, or download is real easy too.
All right. Well, it is so great to have you with us today, and absolutely a great CD, so we know that people are going to want to pick it up. And Ain't Dead Yet ain't a bad CD either, so you can order that one.
yeah, it's a little hard to let that one go. You know, that's not our new CD anymore, though, so that's our last CD. So.
that's you right. Have to have them all. This is perfect for Christmas. Holiday gift giving. You just need to go to their website, and you need the whole pack. You need all of them.
Well, thank you. Well, we didn't tell the listeners that there's a horse on the cover, and on the back too.
That's right. There is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great CD, and we have certainly enjoyed talking with you today. We're going to close out the segment with one called I Hear You Talking. I think this one was written by Cindy Walker, wasn't it?
It was. Cindy Walker. She's from Mejia, Texas, and she wrote a lot of Bob Wills' great hits, and Ray Charles and Roy Orbison, everybody. She was writing the hits for everybody.
All right. So let's take a listen to that. You can visit their website. It is HotTexasSwingBand.com, and you can visit them on Facebook and like them as well there. So thanks so much, Alex. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you very much, Gary and Bobby.
All right. Bye-bye.
I hear you talking. Yes, I do, but you talk to see it in them great big eyes. I hear you talking wise, but don't believe a word you say. You say that I'm your honey love, that I'm all you're thinking of. I hear you talking love, but you ain't been fooling me. I hear you talking.
I hear you talking.
Oh, yes, I do, but you talk, 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 and it don't ring true.
Swing band, I hear you talking. And Alex, a great guest, enjoyed having him on the show. It's a great CD, so be sure and go visit their website, hottexasswingband.com, and you can place your orders there, or as he mentioned, through the normal sources as well. So anyway, great CD, enjoyed having him on the show. Bobby, we've got 25 days till Christmas. And You're going to be on the road, aren't you?
Yes. I'll be here in Santa Clarita for two more shows. The moving band comes on the 15th. So I'll be with you here next week and the week after. And then the following week, whenever that is, the 21st, I think. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually are scheduled to close on the new house, and I don't know what time that will happen.
It'll be exciting.
It'll
be exciting.
And you know, one of the things, Gary, about our new home is it has a wonderful window in the front, ideal for a leg lamp.
You're not going to get a leg lamp.
Oh, yes. It's already ordered with friends of ours in Albuquerque, because we're not sure. The moving van may not actually get there until sometime between the 22nd and the 27th. And so we'll camp out in the house. We'll have a rollaway bed, and we'll kind of, you know, make that home until everything else arrives. So the first and only Christmas decoration that will probably go up, other than the nativity set, which will be in the car, will be the leg lamp.
The leg lamp. Oh, gosh. Too much fun. Too much fun. But anyway, we've had a big time today. We've got some great guests coming up over the next few weeks. We've got the fabulous Twin Kennedy from Canada. They're now living in Nashville, but they're going to be joining us for the show next week. And then we have our good friend Belinda Gale that will be joining us. And then we have a special treat coming up the following week, because we're going to have Bryn Hill and Andy Nelson on the show. So they're going to be bringing the Bryn and Andy show to us, and a lot of great Christmas music. So big time, a lot of fun on Equestrian Legacy Radio's Campfire Cafe, and we'll be talking before too long to our hosts in Albuquerque, New Mexico, instead of Santa Cruz, California. So I'll have to make sure I get that right when you finish your move. But anyway, it's been a big show, a lot of fun. And now it's time for Saddle Up America, and we've got a very special treat for our audience. We're going to be talking with Tracy with Angel Heart Farm. We'll be talking about their program with children with cancer and horses. So that's all coming up in just a moment on Saddle Up America. And Bobby, we'll see you on the radio next week, my friend.
All right. Have a great week.
Have a great week, and since it is getting close to that Christmas season, let's take a listen to Santa's Roundup by Mary Kay, and when we come back, it's time for Saddle Up America on Equestrian Legacy Radio. We'll see you next week, Bobby.
Okay.
Heard there's quite a spread. Santa runs a reindeer ranch about 100 head. It's mighty fine come roundup time by the light of the northern star. Santa rounds his reindeer up with the brand of the flying R. Santa's Roundup, oh have you ever heard of Santa's Roundup? Jingle bobs on spurs. Santa's Roundup, he wears a Stetson hat, tall black boots and a white cow, some full-length woolly shafts. Santa's hands ride for the brand each and every fall. Some may say they're rather short, I'd say they're just untall. They're the boys that make the toys when the roundup time is through. 'Cause out there in the bunkhouse, there's not much else to do. Santa's Roundup, oh, have you ever heard of Santa's Roundup? Jingle bobs on spurs. Santa's Roundup, he wears a Stetson hat, tall black boots and a white cow, some full-length woolly shafts. Bob's on spurs. Santa's Roundup, he wears a Stetson hat, tall black boots and a white cayuse and full-length woolly shafts. Mrs. Claus is glad because she also likes to ride out there on the snowy range with Santa by her side. There's only so much cooking that a gal can stand to do, so she closes up the cookhouse till Roundup time is through. Santa's Roundup, oh, have you ever heard of Santa's Roundup? Jingle bobs on spurs. Santa's Roundup, he wears a Stetson hat, tall black boots and a white cow, some full-length woolly shafts.
Santa's Roundup, Mary Kay, and we're traveling now to Nashville, Tennessee, to Angel Heart Farm, where they have some very special programs that are taking place for children with cancer, and we are so pleased to have with us today Miss Tracy. And Tracy, pronounce your last name for me.
It's Cuiava.
Cuiava. Cuiava. I hate to screw your name up, so thanks for that. Yeah, but how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today? Thanks for having us good. Back. We talked like a year and a half ago, so this is nice.
Well, we're glad to have you back. And for our audience out there that may not have been tuned in to the last show, tell us a little bit about what Angel Heart Farm does.
Sure. What was created 17 years ago in October, so it's our 17th year. I'm the founder and director of it. We work with children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses, and I would say 90% of our children are cancer patients. And the thing about our program, we work with the whole family. We work with siblings. We work with the parents, and it's a one-on-one basis. And we have 10 amazing equine. We have 4 ponies and 6 horses. We have Welsh ponies and Arabians. And they're really the heart and soul of the program. I'm just the facilitator of it. But we've been really blessed. We work with St. Jude's Hospital kids. We work with Vanderbilt, UK Children's, TriStar Children's. So any child that needs us, we're pretty much here for them. So, and it's a completely free program. We rely solely on grant writing and fundraisers and donations. So with the cost of cancer with families, there's no way we could ever, you know, charge anybody for our program. So it's completely free. So we've got
completely free program
helping us out. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. What when you say that it's for the whole family, exactly what do you do in your program?
Well, sure. Well, like, I can give you an idea of how a first day works at the farm. A lot of times we'll have a physician or a nurse or a caregiver or a social worker tell a family about our program, and the parent will call us and want to know a little bit more information about what we're all about. And we invite the family out to the barn, and they can meet the horses, the siblings, the parents, and see what horse they feel like they can connect with. Every horse is different. They're like human beings. They all have unique personalities. And we introduce the children to their horses, and they can pick whatever horse they want to ride, whatever horse they want to learn to brush. And we actually teach our children to ride. It's not a dog and pony show. We teach them to be, you know, with ponymanship and horsemanship and, you know, not only just to ride, but to learn to brush the horses correctly. And, you know, some of our kids actually show the horses after they, you know, have been riding with us a while. We have our parents ride if they so choose. We don't have too many that want to ride. They're usually pretty nervous about it. Kids are all, you know, fair game, but... You know, the siblings want to ride, you know, and that's what we do. We want our children to feel empowered. You know, when you're riding a 1,000-pound animal and you're 50 pounds, that's a big deal. You know, you have no control over what doctors and nurses are doing to you and, you know, during chemo and radiation and everything else that's involved with cancer. So this is a place that the kids come and they're not cancer patients. We don't even... the word cancer is not even brought up in our farm. So we always tell people when you cross the gate, there's no cancer. So, you know, it's a place of joy and happiness, and that's what we do. So, and then we do lots of arts and crafts, we do music and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, so, well, I didn't know about the arts and crafts and the music. So that's,
of course. Yeah, we have a couple really fabulous volunteers who are all about the arts and crafts. I am not. I have no talent whatsoever for that. But during our camp, we do like a little pony princess camp every year and a cowboy camp. And so we've got lots of, you know, lots of crafts and stuff, and the kids can take home and, you know, share with their friends. So it's kind of fun.
Kind of fun stuff. So you have kids that come out throughout the year and they're taking their riding lessons and they're learning how to, handle the horses and to groom the horses.
Yep.
How often do you do a camp?
We just do it twice a year. We do a pony princess camp, and it's for little girls from the ages of 5, because we have a lot of little itty bitties right now, which is pretty sad. Our youngest right now we have is 2 in our program.
Oh, wow.
Battling 4. And like our oldest we have is 16, but we try to keep it as a nice age group from, you know, 5 years old to, you know, 15-year-old kids. And it's very, where the girls have their camp and the boys have their camp, and it's for a whole week. but it's a day camp. And what we do, we pair the children up, you know, through age groups, and they get to pick out which horse they want to work with throughout the week. And usually we have a couple that they're fighting over because they're used to those certain horses that they work with daily, you know, when they come out.
Right.
So we have to, you know, we said, let's try this horse instead for this week. So we teach those kids to, you know, we just do the, pretty much our same program that we do, but we incorporate other children in the, you know, as well. Normally we're a one-on-one basis, and this camp, the kids get to meet other children that are battling and talk about, you know, what they're going through. So it's more of an interactive, you know, thing, and they have to work as a team with the horse or the pony that they choose. And that's when we start really doing the arts and crafts and, you know, writing songs and music. And then we do a, you know, we have lunches every day. And then the last day we have a pony princess parade, and the kids make their own costumes. They can't go out and buy a costume. They have to make it during the week for their horse and their pony. And then it's like a team. And then we have a horse show at the end of it, a judging show with the costumes. And it's when we invite the parents as well, and they can see what the kids have done all week. And it's a lot of fun. And then the cowboy camp is for the same age boys. And we actually have a lot of friends that are real cowboys. So they come in and teach the kids how to rope with roping dummies. And we've been really lucky. Sutton Rope Company out of Texas is always donates ropes for us and the calf dummies, and we do that, and we do arts and crafts, but not anything with glitter like the girls have, and, you know, it's but more cowboy stuff versus, you know, princess pony stuff, so
right.
That's what that camp is about. And then we don't have siblings during that week. It's all the children that are battling, so, and it's a small group. It's not, we don't have 100 kids or anything like that. It's like 6 or 7 for that week. So, and it's, you know, and the thing about our program too, there's so many amazing nonprofits out there, but, and there's so many great camps for children with cancer. But if your child is neutropenic, if they're too sick to come that year, they get bounced out of camp. So we try to make it a daily if possible. So there's never a time they can't come out. You know, if they're too sick one day, they can definitely come out the next. There's not a real, you know, heavy schedule for them. They come out when they feel well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense. What kind of response do you see from these children, and maybe from the family members to the horses?
Well, we've worked with over 350 kids. We've been very fortunate and blessed, and I can only say a handful didn't enjoy it. You know, sometimes a horse is an overwhelming big animal, as we all know. And
right.
It's just a little intimidating for some of the kids, but I would say 99.9% of them love it, and they're empowered by it. And you know, when you hear from the doctors, the kids come into clinic with their cowboy boots on and their stuffed ponies, and they're talking about the horses that they ride at the farm. And I think that is, you know, it shows what we're doing and that we're on the right track. And, you know, when you get a phone call from a little boy out of the blue and asking to talk to Rocky, which is one of our ponies, and you're trying to figure out what child is calling you, and, you know, and they're like, you know, Panda, Rocky's best friend. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, let me get you to Rocky. So, you know, half the time I'm talking to the kids, and the ponies aren't even near me, but they don't know that. So, you know.
Right.
Okay. We do a lot of FaceTime. If the kids are in the hospital, we do FaceTime with their ponies and horses. And everything's been so positive. I mean, I've been doing this 17 years, and, you know, we see our program growing, and which is something we really don't want, to be honest with you. We don't want to have more kids having cancer and chronic illnesses. And the saddest part is childhood cancer's on the rise. And
yeah.
And cancer's on the decline. And, you know, you have to look at and see why is childhood cancer on the rise. It's 90% of it, in my opinion, is probably environmental. And what we feed our kids, and, you know, is how we take care of our environment. So, you know, that we have to really look and see where the issues are coming from. Why are these children getting sicker and sicker at a young age? And that's the frustrating part for us when I have a physician call me and say, well, I've got a two-year-old. Is that too young? And I'm like, nope. So that's really see a lot of joy with the children. You know, we love when our kids are showing the horses and ponies. And, you know, last year we had two national championships with our kids. And one little girl had only ridden a pony three times, and she won a national championship. And one of the little boys had never ridden in his life except the day before the show, and he won a national championship. So,
wow.
Last year. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a true testament to the type of ponies we have in the barn. I mean, they're rock stars. I mean, and one of the ponies actually won Welch Pony of the Year last year, and which was an amazing honor. And then we found out about a week ago that our other pony was just nominated for Welch Pony of the Year. So,
oh wow,
it's really huge honor, and we're very lucky the ponies that we have. And you know, to see a sick little child in the ring, and, you know, they didn't win because they're sick. They won because they could ride, and they did a great job. So we're super proud of our kids. So, and then we also show our Arabians as well, and our kids have won in the Arabian circuit too, so, and local shows. And, you know, when a kid wins a ribbon, it doesn't matter if it's blue or if it's green. You know, it's showing an accomplishment.
Right.
Our kids set a lot of goals for themselves. I mean, like our older ones, our 6 and 7 and 8 year olds, you know, we set goals. And, you know, so like next week we're going to learn to trot. And as soon as they get to the barn, am I going to trot today? I'm like, yep, you're going to trot today. So, you know, they want to do everything. I mean, some of our kids want to clean stalls, and we're like, have at it. That means I don't have to do it. So, you know, they all, but I think our parents are, so excited when they see their child on a pony for the first time. Usually they're really nervous and like, what if they fall off? And, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And I'm like, well, why would they, you know, we've got this under control. And then when they see the child is really thriving and doing well, and then they're like, oh, when's the first horse show? You know, they get really excited, and they see their child thriving, and, you know, it's pretty special.
Yeah, I would imagine. I would imagine. Well, we want to take a quick break and come back and talk more with Tracy about Angel Heart Farm and the program that they have there. And we'll be back in just a moment on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
The language of love is what I understand. With a gentle hand, actions speak louder, words aren't enough, in the language of love. The language of love, not spoken with could understand. And then I saw you, and I reached out my hand. You didn't say a word, your eyes said enough, because you spoke the language of love.
Kennedy's The Language of Love, and we have plenty of that at Angel Heart Farm. And Tracy, we were talking about some of your programs that you have, and how did you start this? Why did you start this program?
Well, so many reasons. So I found cancer in 1998, and I lost my mom and dad. And my mom had passed away from cancer, and I was teaching a program for physically and mentally challenged children. And before that, I taught a blind children's riding program. And I've been a horsewoman since the day I was born. So I've owned and shown Welch ponies and Arabians my whole life. So after my second battle, I had a dream. I was teaching bald-headed children to ride horses. And I quit my job, my own company in the music industry, and I quit that. And I started a nonprofit. So I started Angel Heart, and it was all based out of a dream. So I'm kind of a seat in my pants kind of girl, and I had no idea how to start a nonprofit. I had no idea how I was even going to function and do it, but it all, you know, I guess you figure it out after a while. So that's how I started it, and why I started it is out of my own battle and knowing that my horses got me through everything, and I felt if it could work for me, it could definitely work for children that were really sick. And I went to St. Jude's, I went to Vanderbilt, and met with doctors and met with social workers to see if it was even a, you know, a good idea. And they all said the same thing: when are your doors opening? So, and that was 17 years ago. So, I think I've sort of figured it out. You know, I'm getting there.
After 17 years. After 17 years.
Well, different days. Some days I want to completely quit and say I'm done. And then, you know, you get a phone call from a mom and, you know, and say, oh, my God, we're so happy we're in the program. Or, you know, it's a very stressful job. I mean, I don't really ever consider what I do a job. It's more of a way of life. And, you know, it's we lose kids, you know, and you get very attached. And the ponies get attached to their kids. And, you know, it's hard, but I mean, all of our kids, some of our kids are doing great. I mean, not all of our children pass away. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and I always, if we do work with a child that passes away, we always know they're going to a better place. So it's an initial shock. We just lost a little girl about a month ago. That's still just an absolute shock to us. And, you know, she's got a whole bunch of my ponies in heaven riding, I have a feeling, because Lord knows there's a whole stable up there of mine. So, you know, probably taking care of my ponies. So we're good.
Yeah. How long do the children stay into your program?
Oh, well, they're never allowed to leave. Once you're in our program, you're in our program. You know, I mean, sometimes kids will outgrow something. Sometimes children lose interest as their age, you know, changes. Sometimes, you know, we lose them. Sometimes, you know, but our kids are welcome till eternity. I mean, if they want to come out, they can come out. I mean, even when our children go into remission, they're still in our program. It's something that's not taken away from them. I mean, you can't say to a kid, you know, well, you're cancer-free, so you can't ride your pony anymore. That doesn't happen. So
right. We
really encourage. And, you know, some of our great little volunteers that are 18 and over have been through our program, so they're the best candidates as volunteers to work with some of the littler ones that are battling. So, you know, we don't let them leave. If you know.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Yeah.
That is great. So, have you seen some of these kids go through remission and become horse people? I mean, in 17 years, you've had some kids that have grown up. You know, they're adults now.
My first little guy, in fact, was Nate, and he was 4 years old when he started, and inoperable brain tumor. They didn't give him much hope, and he started riding with us, and mom called me 3 days before Christmas and said, can we come out to the farm? And she was crying, and I was like, oh, God, this is not going to be good. And they came out with 5-pound bag of carrots for the pony, and so we just found out that we're cancer-free right now, and which was
amazing. Oh, that's great.
Amazing. I mean, when a child is given not a lot of hope, and, you know, and then they pull power through, and now he's a freshman in college, so it's a big deal, you know. He's a freshman. Yeah, he starts his freshman year. He started his freshman year this year, and I've got a little guy at, in from Kentucky, and he wants to be a veterinarian. He's 11, and he had a brain tumor, and he's all about wanting to be a vet now. And I've got some girls that are, you know, it's funny. Most of the kids want to do something with animals once they start with us. So that's pretty awesome. You know, they want to be a vet. They want to be a, some of them want to be horse trainers, and they absolutely have no talent whatsoever. But we go, follow your dream.
There you go.
Whatever they want to do, you know, because they're the biggest, our kids are, and our parents are the biggest superheroes. The fictional characters, I've got nothing on my kids or my parents. They're really quite amazing. So.
Well, that is great. That is great. Well, now you have a fundraiser scheduled for 2018. Tell us a little bit about that. Who's going to be performing and when it's going to be.
It's September 18th. September 14th, 2018. I cannot tell you who the artist is because I told them we wouldn't till after January 1. But it's a pretty major band who's have won Grammys and a whole bunch of other stuff. And
all right.
They are really excited about it. I actually worked with them when I was in the music industry as their wardrobe stylist 20 years ago. So we're really pretty pumped that they're going to do it. It's a cowboy ball. It's a dinner. It's a live silent auction. It's a mechanical bull. I mean, it's just all encompassing. And we crown our princess and prince of the ball, two of our little warriors. And it's a lot of fun. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year that we do. And it's a cowboy formal. Everybody wears, you know, pretty dresses and their boots and tuxes and boots and jeans and cowboy hats. So it's kind of funny to see, you know, your city slickers versus your real, because we have real cowboys come because that's my friends. And you can kind of see the difference, you know.
Right, right. What you think it's like and what it's really like. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of know when they walk in the door who's who, you know, but it's a great event, and we're super excited about it. And we haven't done it in a couple years just because of my cancer relapse. So we're really excited about this coming year. And this in the next week and a half, though, is not, I can't really say it's a fundraiser, but it's our my first children's book launch. It comes out next, I think it's the 10th. I'm not even sure. I have to look at my calendar, but we wrote a children's book. We're actually doing a series of three, and this is the first one that comes out, and we're so excited about it. It's with a great publisher, and there's been no children's book written like this before, and took a long time to write. 32 pages doesn't sound like a lot to write, but pretty emotional book, and I had to, you know, get it approved by about 5,000 different people, it seemed like, and we're really excited about it. You know, it's like, I never thought I'd write a children's book in my life, but, you know, I got to finally use my journalism degree, so, you know, it was good. And it's called I'll See You in Heaven.
I'll See You in Heaven is the name of the book. I'll See You in Heaven.
I'll See You in Heaven.
All right, so,
and,
no.
It was
where will people be able to get that? Yeah, tell us about it.
Sure. It'll be on our website. They can pick it up, and then it'll be also on the Arabian Literacy website out of Canada. They're actually our publisher for it. Real briefly, it's about one of our little girls. It was actually the first little girl I ever lost in the program, and she was a Make-A-Wish child, and her wish was to ride a white horse. And if you know me, you know I've got usually a barn full of gray or white horses. So she came out, and we had a multinational in Arabia named Rallo Bosco, and she picked him to ride, and she was 7 years old, and she showed up in Barbie light up tennis shoes, overalls, and little bald head, big eyes, and a little butterfly jacket with three little butterflies on it, and she just loved Bosco more than anything, and she got to ride with me about four times. And her grandma called me, and a month right before she passed away, a couple weeks before she came out to the barn a couple weeks before she passed away, too sick to ride, and she snuggled up to Bosco and said, "I'll see you in heaven." And but she always wore the same little butterfly jacket every day to the every time she'd come to the barn. And
oh, wow.
Her grandma called me and said, "We lost Amber last night," and I was like in pure shock, you know, because it was my first child that I lost, and it was, you know, you don't think a seven-year-old little girl is gonna die. And
right.
So the next morning I went for a ride on Bosco, and there was a little yellow butterfly fluttering next to me like for 30 minutes. I'm like, that's kind of interesting, and I you know, untapped him into the path and put him in a stall, and then couple weeks later, he was getting his feet trimmed, and there were three little butterflies hovering around him in the barn. And then he was getting his hocks injected by our veterinarian at the vet clinic, and there were three little butterflies in the barn. So,
oh, wow.
You know, remember, so she said she'd always be with him, and she'd ride him in heaven. And so every time that these little butterflies would show up, it would... we knew it was Amber. There was no other way it couldn't have been. And when we lost Bosco, it was probably the second worst day of my life. And there was a little butterfly fluttering around his stall for the whole day, and that was her. So, yeah,
oh, wow.
We've got a real big Angel Heart Farm and butterflies. It's a pretty big thing. So that's the basis of the book. There's a lot more to it than that. It's a second, third grade reading level book. There's never been a book written for children about a child dying, but the book isn't sad. I mean, it really is a pretty joyful book. It's, you know, we go by really quickly when she passes away, and then we get into some real happy, you know, happy stuff. So it's hard to explain to a child's best friend or their sibling or their next door neighbor, you know, death, you know, but you have, it's a daily thing. So I felt like this book really needed to be written, and I met with lots of social workers about it, and, you know, they didn't edit anything. They were like, "I wouldn't change a word," which surprised me. I'm like, okay. So, and we a beautiful illustrator, Robin. I never can pronounce her last name. I feel real bad about that because she has a weird last name like me. So, she did the illustrations and just donated her amazing time for it. And so we're really excited. And it'll be on Amazon, too. I don't know how any of that works. I'm, like, trying not to even be involved in it if I don't have to be. And we have two more other books that we're writing. And they're pretty special as well. And the third book we're writing is I'm working on it with one of our young writers, Sophie. So it's going to be kind of a back and forth of her journey through cancer and the pony she rides, Katarina. So we're excited. We just actually, her and I just started sitting down. I already wrote the book, and Sophie and I are really close, and she's like my girl, and she's a beautiful little writer for a 9-year-old. I mean, she's well beyond her years. Like, she's smarter than any college student or any CEO I've ever met. She's a rock star, and she's battling her second battle right now. And when I asked her if she wanted to write it with me, I said, "I really want to read you the book." And she goes, "Okay." So she's got her notes, I've got my notes, so we're going to put them together. And so, and this will be the first book written by a child, you know, that's battling, and, you know, her vision and my vision together. So hopefully it'll be a good combination. So really,
well, that is so cool. So we will watch for that. You said that's January the 10th or December 10th?
No, this the first book, I'll See You in Heaven, is this month. And then the book is April. The second book will be April. And then Sophie and my book about Katarina and her will be during September, which is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. That's when we'll launch it. And we'll launch that book at the Welch Pony Nationals in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, that's great. That is great. All right. So we can visit. What is your website?
It's angelheartfarm.net. And our Facebook is Angel Heart Farm Nashville, which is way more current. I've got to get on the stick and work on my website a little bit better. But there's lots of articles on our website. There's lots of, you know, videos. And we've been very blessed to be on PBS and, you know, a couple other, you know, great, you know, radio and TV shows like yours. So to really explain what we do. And, we're very grateful. And, you know, the one thing about our program is we are the only program of its kind in the Southeast. There's so many programs that work with physically and mentally challenged children, which is such a great need. But, you know, with cancer on the rise, I really feel like it'd be great if we could find more people to start a, maybe not an Angel Heart, but, you know, they don't want to do us, but, you know, and more programs that could reach out to children with chronic illnesses. So that's kind of our long-term goal. We'd like to be a catalyst or a model for someone, you know, that could follow and start their own program. Lord knows I don't do everything right by any means, but it's kind of worked for a little while, so we'll see what happens. I mean,
gosh.
The last time ever, you know, we want it to be you know, part of the healing process for everybody.
Well, there's such a great need for that, and so the website is angelheartfarm.net. And you can find them at Angel Heart Farm Nashville, I think, on Facebook. So be sure and check out both of those. And Tracy, I love you. You are such a little dynamo. And so best of luck with everything that you're doing. And God bless you for what you're doing for all these kids. So I appreciate you very much taking the time out. I know that you had a treatment this morning. And so I thank you for taking the time to be with us today.
Yeah, my doctor gives me good blood instead of the bad blood that's in me. He gives me good blood. And the B12
shots. All right. And the B12 shots. All right. Well, take care of yourself. And again, we remind you, you can visit angelheartfarm.net, and the Facebook page is Angel Heart Farm in Nashville. And we'll talk to you soon, Tracy.
Thanks
so much.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. So it was great to talk with Tracy. She had broken her phone this morning, and so a little trouble hearing her, but I think you'll be able to understand everything that she had to say. And it's really been a good show. We enjoyed talking with Alex Dormont on the Campfire Cafe, and then Tracy this afternoon on Saddle Up America. And remind you that you can join us next week. It's Christmas. Christmas time is coming. And so we're only 25 days away, and we'll start our Christmas programs next week with Twin Kennedy. So be sure and tune in for Campfire Cafe, followed by Saddle Up America. And we'll have Backcountry Horsemen of America with us at that time. We remind you, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world, streaming live, online, and on demand at equestrianlegacy.net. And let's close out the show today with a great Christmas song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's Marty Robbins and our friends Riders in the Sky. Thanks for listening.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall
the most famous reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glowed. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They'd never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say,
Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer, you'll go down in history.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose,
and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glowed.
All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names.
They'd never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
Then all the reindeer loved him as they shouted out with glee,